We're talking to an agricultural expert about the latest version of the Farm Bill.
A new Farm Bill hasn't passed since 2008. The latest extension of that bill expired at the end of September. Members of the House and Senate were scheduled to meet publicly today to kick off negotiations.
The government shutdown squashed the hope of any progress for a while, but the agricultural industry is now focusing on getting a new bill passed. Here to update us on the progress of a new Farm Bill is Margaret Crome, policy program director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. And Margaret, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell us, what do you know about the status of the Farm Bill right now?
Well, staff on both sides, that is both the Senate and the House, have been meeting quite a lot lately, and they are in the middle of negotiating all sorts of fine points. I think a number of people are expecting that the Farm Bill it looks like there's progress, and people are expecting that there very well may be some daylight at the end here. It's been a pretty long haul, but it isn't likely to happen quickly. The goal is to make sure it gets done by the end of the year. That's going to be a little bit tough, but it could happen. It may be that Congress will need to attach this to another must-pass piece of legislation, one of the big budget issues, maybe the budget deal, maybe the continuing resolution. So we'll have to wait and see what it is that finally kicks it into action, but we're excited that there's a conference.
And what aspects of the Farm Bill are you particularly interested in, and which do you think are the most important to Wisconsin?
Well, there are a lot of provisions that are important to Wisconsin. The ones that I work on the most pertain to some of the innovations in the programs that we have gotten in the last couple of Farm Bills that are really helping transform agriculture, helping to support local and regional agricultural systems, helping to support the kind of thriving sustainable agriculture that we have here in Wisconsin and other parts of the Midwest, helping farmers recapture more of the money that they've worked so hard to create, so that what are called value-added programs get more funding, get more support, and very much concerned about making sure that we have full funding and support for conservation. Wisconsin's got a long, proud tradition of conservation, and some of the House cuts to conservation are really troubling. We want to make sure that some of those conservation programs are funded and really funded proportionately. The conservation's taken disproportionate cuts the last several years. And then maybe finally one would be the importance of making sure there's funding to support beginning farmers. You know, the state's average age of farmers, I mean, actually it's the nation. The average age of farmers around the country is 57 years old, which means there are a lot of farmers a lot older than that. And there are programs like the Beginning Farmer Rancher Development Grant Program and some others that will just continue to help us bring more farmers into agriculture so that we can protect the country's food security for the future.
Now, part of what's been the most contentious aspect of this has been money allocated for nutrition programs, including money for food stamps. How does this spending change in the latest version of the Farm Bill, as far as you know?
Well, we can't say what the latest version is. We are hearing a few concessions. There are some people starting to say on both sides, yes, okay, very likely the Senate's going to have to increase their cut somewhat. Both, of course, just to remind all listeners, both houses cut food stamps, now called SNAP. But
pretty big difference in the numbers, though.
The Senate cut it by $4 billion over the life of the Farm Bill, and the House by just about 10 times that amount, just about $40 billion. Little under $40 billion, so it's a huge difference. And there are some sort of behind-the-scenes comments that it's beginning to look like people are recognizing that to get a Farm Bill, both sides will have to concede. But I believe it's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough issue, no question. It's probably that more than any other issue that makes people say this may have to be tied to a must-pass piece of legislation, because that's a very tough nut.
So if it's tied to a must-pass piece of legislation, are you expecting that to be something that's fast-tracked, or do you expect to sort of see this bill languishing for a while longer?
Hopefully not languishing for long. I think that reasonable people are saying by the end of this year, it's reasonable to hope certainly early January, but really we can't afford to have it go into January. The extension ends at the end of the year. We really need to have a new farm bill by the end of the year. So our hope would be that it would be passed by the end of the year, and there are, you know, there are some budget bills that have to get passed. There are budget agreements that have to be worked through, and maybe this will be folded into that. That's one theory. There are a number of theories, but that's one of them.
Now, you talked a little bit about local economies and how that has been affected, and you talked about, you know, encouraging the next generation of farmers. What about farmers who are, you know, in the act of farming right now? How has this affected them, not having a new piece of farm legislation?
Well, it's really hard on farmers. It's hard for farmers to not be able to predict what kinds of programs they can be enrolling in. That's hard for them to be able to go to their bankers and say, we don't yet know what kind of risk management programs we can count on, what kind of commodity programs we can count on, what the limitations will be on those. So it's really hard on farmers to not know. And needless to say, ours is a dairy state. Not having clarity on dairy provisions in the Farm Bill, that's really tough. So those are, it's a real issue for really every person living in the state of Wisconsin. But in the farm community, it's very critical.
Now, is it possible that instead of doing something new, that they'll just continue to extend the old legislation?
Well, I think everybody's hoping that won't happen. Really, we need to have a farm bill, and there are a number of reasons. One of those reasons, just as one example, is when Congress passed, well, when they defaulted last year at the end of September and didn't pass the Farm Bill, there were several months when many programs had no authorization and really weren't able to disperse funds and do much of the business of that program. But many programs got extended in the fiscal cliff deal at the end of last year. There were, however, many programs that did not, and some of those are the most important programs for helping to support local and regional food systems, for helping to support some of the most thriving parts of Wisconsin's agriculture and the most innovative parts. So the organic research program got cut and didn't get authorized. The farmers market, all the direct marketing funding didn't get supported. The value-added program didn't get supported. The beginning farmers development grant program, that didn't get supported. So there are many, many programs that are currently stranded without any authorization, and an extension won't help that. But there are other reasons, too, and many farmers would say we need to get clarity, and we also need to get back on the track of a predictable, approximately five-year farm bill cycle.
Well, Margaret, I know you'll be watching it. We will, too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Margaret Crome, Policy Program Director for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute.